Welcome to hour number three on Monday, the 9th of May. We have Dr. Richie Shoemaker. Dr. Shoemaker, MD, you've done some of the most amazing work and most important work on surviving mold. Your latest book, of course, is Surviving Mold, Life in the Era of Dangerous Buildings. This is required reading. I think you mentioned that the latest is that up to 50% of commercial and residential buildings are actually places of toxic mold and other organisms that like to grow in an even temperature between 65 and 75 degrees. Tell us what got you interested in this, because you've become one of the premier experts on toxic mold building syndrome in the world, and you've assembled some very hard science so that when you go as a medical legal witness, you can tell them what imaging studies that can be useful, what tests that can be done at conventional laboratories like LabCorp, what immunoassays will identify the problem, and how to approach it to actually recover from toxic mold syndrome and realize how big the problem is.
You know, I'm just impressed listening to you. You put so much information in one sentence, but I think you've got a good handle that this is an incredibly common problem. NIOSH in January this year has changed their prior estimates of water damaged buildings in the United States, and there they're looking at homes and schools and workplaces. It used to be about a third, 25 to 33%, of buildings were called water damaged, and now that's been updated to 50%. We're not talking about flooded areas along the Mississippi River or wherever else there's springtime extra runoff from different areas. We're talking about construction defects, plumbing defects, basements, and then people with crawl spaces where they put HVAC ductwork into the areas that are dank and going to be producing microbes like crazy all the time. So it's a huge problem, and the fascinating issue to me is that only about 25% of people are going to have the genetic basis of susceptibility to the unusual kind of inflammation that exposure brings in sick people.
Tell us about the genetics then. That's really interesting. In other words, there's a genetic profile of people that mold will really particularly cause problems with.
It sure is. If we look on chromosome 6, remember we've got 46 chromosomes in people. If we look on that part of chromosome 6 with the immune response genes and the jargon term for them, and forgive me if I lapse into jargon, it's kind of what I do all day long.
Yeah, that's good. But it shows there's some science behind this. We're not doing this for entertainment. We're trying to actually inform people so they recognize that there's a number of people sick. And
sure.
This may be your problem if the profile fits.
If we look at HLA, and these are the different loci where we actually program, are we going to recognize a foreign substance, call it an antigen, as a friend or foe? The response of our early detection system that says fight or flight, go after the bad guys or not, is controlled by what mom and dad gave us. So that some people can go into a moldy home and just say, well, this is lovely view out the front porch, and oh yes, we've got some black staining here, but it doesn't bother me. And then someone else, especially if they've been sick before, will come in, and within 5 minutes they're short of breath, they've got a headache, they've got nausea, they've got a sore throat, and they say, I've got to get out of here, I can't even think straight.
Now that transformation, what do you think, with all your research and your clinical work, what are the primary metabolic things that are differentiate those two people?
Two things have got to occur. The first is that there must be a fall in the levels of protective compounds. Now, we call them neuropeptides, and they regulate inflammation. So these regulatory neuropeptides, and they've got acronyms and long names. They call them VIP and MSH for short. But those levels need to fall below the normal range, which lets their duties fail. And those duties are regulation of inflammation. So if you don't have the right amount of VIP and MSH, and you're exposed, inflammation systems that are put in to exponentially expand the body's awareness of foreign antigens and foreign invaders goes wild, and it stays going wild. If you couple that to the second issue, which is defective antigen presentation, what that means is that even though the body is looking at a compound that it should make an antibody to, it doesn't. So what we have is inflammation gone wild and no ability to clear the offender that set off the inflammation. And what that means is that when you leave that building that made you ill, you do not self-heal. This is not allergy. This is innate immunity.
Right. So in other words, it's a sensitivity would be a better term, and a metabolic predisposition. You mentioned before the break that there are imaging tests that can be used in medical legal situations too, about toxic building syndrome, such as MR, magnetic resonance spectroscopy. Tell us about that, because a lot of people out there don't realize that you can quantitatively prove these things with this. And, of course, you have on your website, which is survivingmold.com, where you can get the books as well, Surviving Mold and Mold Warriors. They can also get information about the update on the immunoassays through LabCorp and other labs where their own insurance will pay for the testing so they can identify what's going on with their body in terms of why they're sick and whether they're getting better.
The key thing to me is that what I do is use tests that are commercially recognized as being, you know, medically accepted, and they're ones that we can use here in Pocomoke, Maryland, where I practice, or you can use it in L.A. or anywhere else you want. All you need is a test code and someone to draw the blood and send it off, and you have an answer coming back within days.
Yeah, those tests are pretty neat. Some people are taking notes, or there's health professionals. You mentioned things like complement tests, like complement C3A, C4A levels, and the test codes you have even listed, so people can find out what kinds of tests can be done, and a number of other assays that can measure other things as well.
One of the key following issues is that if we've got low MSH and VIP, what are the inflammatory effects that go haywire? Well, you get high levels of a complement protein. Remember, these are preformed and they're ready to go upon antigen detection. And the fourth element of complement is split to make two pieces, C4A and C4B. And C4A is one of the bad guys that reduces blood flow in capillary beds. And what that means is that if you have reduced blood in a part of the brain, say the frontal lobe or the memory area, the hippocampus, and we want to know how come you've got brain fog, we found you've got high C4A, and we say, if there's not enough blood flow, is there not enough oxygen delivered? And if that's the case, there will be elevated levels of lactate. Now, you've heard about lactic acid. We worry about sports participants that start cramping when they're overdoing it. And we all know that too much lactic acid is not a good idea. But the poor cell, starving for oxygen, cannot use the breakdown products of sugar, glucose, if you will, adequately generate the fuel. Now, we call that ATP, and each molecule of sugar should give us 38 molecules of ATP if adequate oxygen's there.
Right.
Without adequate oxygen, you only get two.
Right.
And if you ask the poor muscle or the brain or the lung or the heart or any part of the body to use its energy with a 5% efficiency, it doesn't take too long before you chew up the sugar that you've got. And now you've got to either stop what you're doing or start burning something else. And in people with mold illness, as I call it, it's a jargon term again, what they end up burning primarily is lean body mass or protein. So that when you look at folks that are chronically fatigued and weak and tired, we can show you why.
That's amazing, and it's so scientifically valid. Back in a moment with more with the remarkable site survivingmold.com and Dr. Richie Shoemaker, MD, in just a moment.
G. GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with Uhimbe and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
And we're back with Dr. Richie Shoemaker. Our website is survivingmold.com, and we got into some pretty technical things, but it's important that people understand the technical basis that this works. Explain about the whole issue of some of these other tests. We talked about C3A and C4A, C4A which can cut down blood supply to areas of the brain, which you can pick up on a magnetic resonance spectral analysis. You mentioned also VIP, which is a vasoactive intestinal peptide, as a treatment to stop another cytokine that you can measure in the blood, especially in people that have asthma. What is that other test that could be done to measure?
One of the inflammatory compounds that is pretty substantial in my practice. It's called Transforming Growth Factor Beta 1.
Transforming Growth Factor Beta 1. Okay.
You did well. Now, say it fast 3 times in a row. We really get a good idea.
Transforming Growth Factor Beta 1.
Specifically, this is what we call a pluripotent or many-potent compound. It will turn on different genes at a given time, and we can measure that genetic activation. It turns on production of immune cells that do really terrible things to us called Th17 cells.
Right.
It participates tremendously in interacting with a kind of lymphocyte, a T lymphocyte that regulates autoimmunity, and these are called T regulatory cells. And TGF-beta 1 turns on these cells to become activated, and they should shut down autoimmune functions and protect tissues and protect us. Unfortunately, some of the signal markers of these, what we call T regulatory cells, are split off in tissue, removing the benefits of regulation, and they make what are called pathogenic T cells that make more TGF-beta-1.
Right, so in other words, that they can be a marker for maybe why we see mold injury. People are often more likely to get autoimmune diseases too then.
You are right on the button. Children especially have the lowest levels of T regulatory cells, and 58% of children exposed to water damaged buildings and ill will have antibodies to gliadin, which means they can't eat gluten, and nearly 33% of them will have antibodies to compounds called cardiolipins that are involved in clotting and a whole series of things. So that if you look especially at a young woman of childbearing age who has a tragedy of losing a pregnancy in the first or second trimester, you can better believe that I'm going to be saying measure cardiolipin antibodies.
Yeah.
And when you're positive, then look for the mold environment that has activated those, because you'll find high TGF-beta-1 in that patient.
Now, of course, that's one of the major things. That they had in Denver, Colorado, they had one of the world-class centers for hypercoagulation studies done at the University of Colorado, and I'm very familiar with the hematologists there, that anticardiolipin is a real big deal. In other words, it's a major cause of stroke and heart attack and vascular problems and other problems, including loss of pregnancies in the first and second trimester.
And it doesn't have to be just those that are bad enough. Kidney problems are there. When you look at someone who's got cold hands and cold feet all the time, there's many things that could contribute to it, but cardiolipins are one of those, and mold sets that off. So this idea of autoimmunity under influence of TGF-beta-1 activated by mold exposure is just one of the many different ways that TGF-beta-1 can hurt us. What really concerns me is that in 2009, there was a paper that came out of California from the EPA. Dr. Fisk published his estimates as a meta-analysis that 21%, I don't know, he got 21, not 20, but 21% of all asthma in the U.S., children and adults alike, was related to mold exposure and was causing $4-plus billion of expenditure. Now, those numbers are going to be higher now. The real issue when you think about asthma is that every researcher is going to talk about remodeling, which means that the lung itself is changing. Transforming growth factor gets its name because it changes cell types from nice, differentiated, long, delicate cells that lie in bronchial tubes into thick, tough fibroblasts that just don't work right at all.
Yeah, exactly. You see, fibrotic lung changes occur very often in asthmatics and chronic lungers. And so that's very interesting. We also find high levels of leukotriene B4 and D4 in the lungs of the people that have chronic lung disease. And what I've always told people is that all chronic sinus and chronic lung disease always has mold as a major risk factor causing these illnesses.
We know full well that once the illness is initiated and people are re-exposed, what happens, it's not like they get desensitized. They actually get sicker quicker. And so the time to develop a measurable C4A response might be 4 hours your first time around that you with an illness, but it drops down to 1 hour, 30 minutes, and then 10 minutes, we can measure high C4A. So you're right. Mold exposure will affect an altered host just like it does an unaltered host. Heaven forbid you should have a lung injury or a chronic fatigue-like syndrome, maybe with the XMRV virus. If you go into a moldy building and your VIP and MSH are low because of something else, mold now becomes public enemy number one.
Yeah, that's really a big deal. Now, when you measure this, because you have your clinic and you fit a number of doctors, too, and you're using these technologies of the right tests and the right approaches, when someone comes to your facility, what's the general approach? What do you do first?
Before people come, I ask for a complete set, and I mean complete set, of every medical document they've got. Let me review them, because when they come here, we only have 2 hours of an interview time. These are some of the most complex patients that I think anyone has seen. On average, my patients have seen 10 doctors before I get to see them, and quite frankly, they wouldn't come to Pocomoke if they were feeling fine. We really are off the beaten path. But having said that, what we do is to combine standard medical history and physical with laboratory testing. We will do the visual contrast sensitivity test here in the office. This one is basic in looking at these inflammatory illnesses from biotoxins.
And the biotoxin, by the way, that visual contrast test picks up that the biotoxins are even affecting their visual processing in the retina. Is that right?
It sure is. We look at the neurologic function of contrast. It's separate from near vision and far vision and color and peripheral and motion vision. And we isolate contrast, which is the ability to see an edge and say, can you see gray lines of steadily decreasing intensity against the light gray background? There becomes a time, and this test was widely used after one version was invented by the Department of Defense at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in the mid-'80s, we can look to see what a normal patient is, and then we see with these biotoxin patients, it's incredible. The whole curve is suppressed, and it's shifted to the left. So this old test in neurotoxicology has been around for 60 years, is still alive and well, and in 5 minutes, this disarmingly simple test gives us vital information that's reliable.
That's amazing. When we come back, we'll hear more about what they... their journey to see Dr. Shoemaker and how they can sort out their mold injury and all the training you've done to many other doctors to try to get them up to speed. We'll be back in a moment with, again, the website is survivingmold.com, Dr. Richard Shoemaker, MD.
It is well known that protein nutrition is a key to optimum blood sugar levels. But to benefit at all from protein, your body must first be able to break down protein into amino acids. Once amino acids are liberated from proteins, your body uses them to make brain chemicals that make you feel alert and peaceful at the same time. Your pancreas uses them to regulate blood sugar and insulin. People are waking up and doing an about-face when it comes to nutrition. They are learning that a high-carbohydrate diet may encourage obesity and diabetes. They are now emphasizing proteins more to compensate. One protein source that is more easily broken down into amino acids is non-denatured whey protein. For better blood sugar and better weight, give One World Whey a try. One World Whey is the most powerful whey protein food on the market. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Going solar for cheap is as easy as 1, 2, 3. If you want to go solar but thought the setup costs were too high, now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch our introduction video at 123cheapsolarvideo.com. The video is free, but it won't last long. Save money on electric bills and get off the grid. Go to 123cheapsolarvideo.com right now. Our website again is 123cheapsolarvideo.com.
Hi, this this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
And we're back with Dr. Richie Shoemaker and, of course, SurvivingMole.com. You mentioned some other tests that can be measured when they're coming into the clinic, a few other tests, including a mold DNA and some other tests. Got to go over those because it's important people understand there's some real hard science here that'll determine what the cause of the illness is and how severe it is.
In 2006, the EPA published a study looking at 1,000 buildings where it was known whether they were water damaged or not. They had the ability to measure fungal DNA using techniques called PCR, and I think most people know what PCR is these days, but specifically, we can measure the DNA in a sample of dust that will tell us whether or not there's been water damage or not based on the populations of fungi that are present. So we look at group 1 organisms from water damaged buildings and group 2 from non-water damaged buildings, and we can look at the whole panel that the EPA would have us look at, or we can look at smaller samples of this panel. But for $300, you get two specimens. You collect an area, a vacuum sample for 5 minutes, measure an area 3 feet by 6 feet, maybe on a carpet, not necessarily, in the bedroom and one in the living room, and send them off to a mycology lab. I don't know the ones on the West Coast, but certainly on the East Coast, Mycometrics in New Jersey certainly kind of is leading the way.
Yeah, Mycometrics will measure the DNA copies will determine how severe the mold problem is.
With this information in mind, you can actually develop a building health index. Now, that's not the same as a human health index, but what our work has done in several thousand patients now has correlated ERMI values with illness so that we know if you have low values of these regulatory neuropeptides, especially MSH or melanocyte stimulating hormone, and if the ERMI is greater than 2, and that number is derived.
And the ERMI is our initial standing for the DNA of the mold.
It is the Environmental Relative Mold Index.
Yeah, Environmental Relative Mold Index. Okay.
It's based on the fungal DNA.
Right.
Basically, we have done studies that take people with a known ERMI, and we put them in with informed consent into a building primarily to prove that a given building makes them sick. And we know that on day one, after 8 hours of exposure, C4A is going to jump through the roof. And on day two, leptin goes through the roof. On day three, we see significant changes in MMP9, these matrix metalloproteinase 9, these other.
Those are nasty. Leptin, of course, is tied in with also weight control, too.
What happens in these patients is that MSH is made when leptin says go to work. It binds to a receptor in the hypothalamus and causes MSH to be made. In my patients, where MSH receptor and that production pathway is damaged by inflammation beforehand, they develop what's called leptin resistance. So their leptin doesn't work, and as such, the body pours out more and more leptin. And guess what? They gain weight quicker and quicker and quicker. High leptin will block direct beta oxidation of fatty acids, prevent mobilization of fat from fat stores. And here's this illness that makes you weak and tired. It causes increased susceptibility to pain stimuli because MSH is made with beta endorphin. And then it makes people overweight, and they go to somebody and they say, I feel crummy. I need to lose some weight. And you get told, exercise more. And all that does is compound the problem because these folks don't deliver enough oxygen in capillary beds.
Wow, that's amazing. The science, so they, in other words, it's all quantifiable, and you can actually measure their MSH and these other levels, the ERMI level, et cetera. That's cool.
Every single step of the way, we can give you peer-reviewed published papers, thousands of them. We can give you, you know, the national lab codes that run these tests every single day. You don't have to guess anymore is what I'm saying.
Now, is it 14 steps in this program that you put together?
There are. Specifically, this idea of sequential approach to therapy is kind of analogous to building a house. The last thing you want to do is start painting if you haven't put the windows in, so to speak.
Right.
So that you follow one step at a time. Removal from exposure. We use drugs like cholestyramine and Wellcol that are sold to help bind and lower cholesterol because they also bind and lower biotoxins as well and prevent ongoing carriage of these compounds. Then we start looking at the different kinds of things that go on in these patients. It turns out with low MSH, you start getting unusual germs that make biofilm colonizing deep in the nose. And you won't know they're in the nose until you do the culture because they don't make you feel sick. They don't give you a runny nose or a headache. What they do is make products that turn on more inflammation. So those unusual biofilm formers have got to go. We then are looking at correction of what MSH does to other hormones. It reduces antidiuretic hormone effect. And so as a result, without adequate ADH, people are thirsty all the time. They pee all the time. And amazingly, they start getting static shocks all the time, and maybe more common where we are than you are. But it's such an unusual symptom, it's worth mentioning.
Yeah, static shocks being, why do they get the static shocks?
It's fascinating. When you lose ADH and you're losing free water in the urine, what happens is salt is left behind in the blood.
Right.
And we call this osmolality. We measure salt levels compared to water in the blood. The sweat gland will activate with the rising levels of salt in the blood and pour extra salt onto the skin. So functionally now, you have a water solution with extra salt in it, your skin becomes a battery. And you've got electromotive potential and you discharge to ground. When I measured sodium and chloride levels in sweat, on a kind of off chance that we could come up with something, the levels of chloride were higher in mold patients with static shocks than they were even in cystic fibrosis patients, which were the highest
that very interesting. So that's the old sweat chloride test.
Yeah.
It was developed for cystic fibrosis.
Sure.
So all patients actually even have higher sweat chloride tests.
And, you know, it's kind of weird to be doing that on adults that don't have respiratory problems necessarily, but your jaw is going to drop when you see these results. It's like, my God, this person wasn't some wacko making things up. There's physiology rules in this illness.
Now, you've done a lot of medical legal work on this, too. How is it received in the courts when you present all this information, and what happens when it's received?
Well, the legal battles are changing even as we speak, primarily because of three documents that have been published in the last couple of years. It used to be we would be arguing against opinions from the American College of Occupational Viral Medicine that says mold never made anybody sick. Mold only comes from, you know, from eating mold, and that was just really silly.
Yeah.
But, you know, then there were some allergists come along, and the same people that do mold defense work, hired for large numbers, by usually by insurance companies, are the ones writing a paper that's quoted saying nothing's wrong. Well, fortunately, that's been blown out of the part of water. It's just really lousy science. And specifically, the Government Accountability Office published in 2008 a nice review looking at what the feds are doing about this problem, recognized that what we find inside water-damaged buildings is not just mold alone, but lots of other things like gram-negative bacteria and actinomycetes and inflammation from inflammagens and all this stuff.
Yeah, mycobacteria is another big area. Most people don't realize how mycobacteria can grow in any tissue, including in your brain, your bone marrow, and there's a direct link between mycobacteria and diabetes and autoimmune diseases as well.
One of the interesting features about mycobacteria now is we know they make toxins called mycolactones. That's a big deal in equatorial parts of the world where Buruli ulcer is so commonly seen as devastating illness caused by exposure to mycobacteria making toxins. By the way, we can bind them with cholestyramine as well.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Cholestyramine is kind of a neat thing. It's also very non-toxic. What other kinds of approaches do you take with people to get them well?
We fix, you know, ADH, then we go after cortisol and ACTH abnormalities. They're 40% of people will be out of whack. We fix androgen problems. Then you've got to fix C3A. Then you fix C4A. Then you fix TGF-beta-1. And there, waiting in the end, is VIP.
Yeah, maybe we can cover some of the details when we come back in the next segment of some of the basic ideas. Obviously, we're summarizing a very complex process, but there's logic behind every step. Back in a moment, Dr. Richie Shoemaker, MD.
Is your whole health constantly challenged? Would you like to age less? Then consider taking Ageless Chocolate and Life Support from NutraMedical.com. Ageless Chocolate is a clinically validated, all-natural, fructose-free formula comprised of ingredients that promote overall gastrointestinal health and optimize the body's ability to detoxify harmful substances. In short, it will make you age less. Take Ageless Chocolate together with Life Support from Dr. Bill Deagle's NutraMedical.com. Life Support contains metabolically activated nutrients and detoxification cofactors that support stem cell rejuvenation, metabolism, gastrointestinal health, and anti-inflammatory pathways. Learn more and order Ageless and Life Support online at NutraMedical.com or call 888-212-8871. That's 888-212-8871. Or go to NutraMedical.com, spelled NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products, but increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water, and because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that it could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
If you own a septic system, or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems, and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back, and we're going to have Dr. Richie Shoemaker, which is you're a real genius at this, the whole issue of surviving mold. And, of course, your website is survivingmold.com, Dr. Richie Shoemaker, MD. 14 steps. Can we expand on some of the testing? Because there's a lot of differences that can be measured in the blood with these tests that can be done at conventional labs like LabCorp and Quest, et cetera. Cytokines, for example, interleukin 1 beta, PGC 1 alpha, all these different cytokines that can be measured that can actually tell you what's going on there. Let's go over some of the, you went over them very quickly, some of the steps. Step number one, obviously you could write a chapter in each one of these steps, but if you were to summarize so people realize there's a stepwise process and you can actually measure, which is really neat, you can actually measure the response to see if you've gotten past, that step one problem, step two problem, step three problem.
One of the problems looking at cytokines is that we can only measure the cytokines in blood that are not bound to a receptor. And what that means is that if I've got a cell that lines a blood vessel, an endothelial cell, that releases interleukin 1 beta or TNF, it can bind to a different part of its own self. And we call this autocrine function. Or it can bind to a cell just downstream called a paracrine function. And you can have very high levels of TNF and interleukin 1 beta and all these, but you'll never know it by measuring the blood because the compounds are bound. They're stuck to the lock and key, so to speak.
Yeah.
But now, so the way to get around
some kind
that,
of new imaging systems to be able to identify that down the road, maybe.
Well, the way around it now, even without sophisticated ways of looking capillary flow, which is tough, is to measure the compound that's released when there's cytokine activation of white blood cells called macrophages and endothelial cells, and that is, my friend, matrix metalloproteinase 9,
MMP9. Yeah, that's a good one. That one is really a reliable measure, and there are some things that will lower MMP9 as well.
Well, MMP9 delivers inflammatory elements out of blood and primarily puts them into nerve, muscle, brain, joint, and lung.
Yeah.
So when you've got high levels of MMP9, I guarantee you that we've got a rheumatologic picture that's going to fool just about everybody around.
Yeah.
And if you don't measure MMP9, you're going to start using silly words like fibromyalgia. For goodness sakes, let's look at the physiology of what's going on.
Right.
But specifically, every single one of these, inflammation chemicals has a specific treatment for it. I mentioned C3A just very, very quickly at the beginning of the show. This compound is a real player in coronary artery disease, and it is lowered by high doses of statin drugs. And every time I hear someone taking statins, I cringe because I know if they take statins, they're going to develop a deficiency of CoQ10 almost overnight.
Oh, yeah, immediately, yeah. And it can do other things to actually lower the inflammatory, these inflammatory, fragments, too.
Well, sure. I mean, statins, they're being sold to lower cholesterol, but they are potent anti-inflammatory agents, and they will lower C3A specifically. Now, C4A is a compound we've come to fear because it's made by an enzyme with a long name called M as in Mary, ASP2. And this MASP2 auto-activates. It turns itself on. So you can actually have the physiologic basis of sicker, quicker, with more C4A, more C4A, now getting worse and worse and worse. Now, labs only measure C4A to about 190,000. Normal for our sick patients, about 10,000. And normal for controls is about 2,800. But if you've got a level of 20 to 30,000, you better lower that C4A because it's going to interfere with coagulation, it's going to interfere with blood flow, and the drug called Procrit scares everybody half to death because it can cause some clotting. If used properly, lowers C4A safely, effectively, and rapidly.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course there's natural alternatives that can lower C3A and C4A also, which are kind of neat, and also lower the presence of some of these other cytokines because these are much more common problems, and I think what you're onto something. There's a lot of research going back into the 1930s with the Germans looking at mycobacteria as a trigger for cancer. I think that a lot of cancers are fungal and mycobacteria and these stealth pathogens altering the immune system so the body starts to attack itself. I think there's a direct link there.
Well, there may be one more thing to think about cancer for a minute. Specifically, those Treg cells that I was talking about can actually bind to particular solid tumors and prevent detection of the tumor.
Yeah. Is that the they bind to the recognition loci on the cell surface so the T hunter cells, I guess, the T killer cells, can't find the tumor cells and eliminate them, and then they eventually cover themselves with a fibronectin capsule so that they've got total encapsulation while they grow and draw new blood flow to themselves. So,
well, meanwhile, VEGF is released in response to tissue hypoxia that will increase blood flow in the existing blood vessels and stimulate new blood vessel growth. Now, here's the interesting thing. The first compound ever found to be what we call an anti-angiogenic agent, an agent that would block delivery of blood into cancer cells, was from a fungus. Fumagillin was found in a lab in Boston, at Boston Children's Hospital, by Jonah Faulkman. And fumagillin is just one marker. And this is one reason that mold patients in our list, despite mycotoxins being carcinogenic, we actually have reduced cancer rates, breast cancer, lung cancer, and colon cancer, and hematologic malignancies in my patients are the only ones we've looked at, compared to controls. In those
because
people,
in other words, you normalize their cytokines is what you're doing.
No, they walk around with low VEGF.
Oh,
they don't feed blood. They don't feed cancer.
In other words, because their VEGF is so low, they won't feed the cancer. So the side effect of being ill is they don't have VEGF. Okay.
Right. So you don't die of cancer. You just feel miserable every single day, day in and day out.
Oh, that's really interesting. that's really interesting. It's another risk factor for cancer. Should be measuring people's VEGF level.
Well, it's kind of done routinely. If you've got a VEGF receptor on a cancer cell and VEGF levels start to go up, look out, because that cancer is just going to go nuts.
Right. In other words, it's vascular endothelial growth factor. It draws in more blood supply. It's real simple. The tumor then grows more because of it. That's really cool. So some of the other steps, let's talk about those for a moment.
One of the fascinating features about drugs that we use every day is that just about all of them will have some side effects that we don't know about or some benefits we don't know about. And just because the FDA approves a drug for human use and puts a label on it doesn't mean that's the only thing we can use it for.
Off-label use.
Well, one of the simple example is that a lot of people have heard about the ARBs or angiotensin II receptor blockers, and there's six or seven of them that are sold. Only one of them, and that is Cozaar, which is now generic as Losartan, has a metabolic product that lowers TGF-beta 1. Now, Merck owns this. It's called EXP3179. And my goodness, would I love to have that, because it doesn't lower blood pressure. And if you give someone a drug that knocks out high TGF-beta 1 and normalizes it, you'll protect them from the slings and arrows that TGF-beta 1 brings. And interestingly enough, you can use low-dose losartan. It never was very good as a blood pressure pill anyway, but it does not lower blood pressure very often to the point you got to stop it. Now, if your blood pressure is 90 over 60 and you walk around feeling faint all the time, we're not going to give you losartan. But specifically, if we can do that,
A real low dosage. You're talking about my minuscule dosages. I've also heard of the use of some of these blockers that block some of the receptors for pain. You know, that are actually useful for these kind of syndromes as well. Have you heard of that? Also?
Well, as far as using naltrexone and some of the other low dose things. I have not gotten in there, quite frankly, the medical legal issue about anybody doing pain management. If you use low-dose naltrexone, you're going to be put on that label. That's almost asking for somebody to attack your medical license. So,
right. So, I heard low-dose naltrexone used in some other countries seems to be helpful for some of these mold patients in Europe and elsewhere.
Well, in plenty of docs in the U.S. using it, yes, it does. It has some complications in that if you give to people and you have not fixed C4A, or if you got coagnic staffs, you're not going to get any benefit at all.
Yeah, exactly. In other words, you got to go through your plan of 14 steps sequentially, or it's not going to work as well, and it won't work at all.
It's like skipping steps. You can't do that.
Amazing. We need to have you back soon, Dr. Richie Shoemaker. Your website is survivingmold.com, a couple of remarkable books, and, of course, referral network. You've trained a lot of doctors. Fast-paced show today. We covered a lot of material. I appreciate the discussion. Of course, coming up tomorrow, Lindsay Williams, hour number one and hour three. Mark Lerner, you don't want to miss it. Thank you, Dr. Richie Shoemaker. And if you have any questions, then do email us. We'll bring Dr. Shoemaker back on the program soon. This is important information. Toxic mold now up to 50% of commercial buildings and homes. And it may be the cause of lots of illnesses that you wouldn't directly connect with mold. Other organisms growing there too. Thank you again, Dr. Shoemaker, survivingmold.com.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.